This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us what benefit us from what He taught us and increase us in knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in this gathering and make us from the people who listen and apply inshallah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So, we are approaching the end of Surah Yusuf alayhi salam, and subhanallah wallahi, I'm feeling very sad leaving this surah, subhanallah. It is it's almost 30 weeks is what, how long is 30 weeks divided by 4? 7 or 8 months discussing the surah of Yusuf. And what else, like a brother was reminding me, what else do you want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself called it Ahsan al-Qasas? If someone wrote a book and we found out that a big author said this is the best book, it becomes the best seller. How about if Allah azza wa jal said this is the best of stories? Allahu Akbar. Yani, in all this lifespan, not our lifespan, from all this life, from Adam alayhi salam all the way to the Day of Judgment, this is the best story. Allahu Akbar. So it makes you really appreciate and love the eloquency of this surah. And the most important thing are the lessons that we have been discussing that derived from the surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people who listen and apply, inshallah. So, last week we discussed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is from Anba al-Ghayb, this is all what we have told you is from the unseen, neither you nor your people have no idea about the details of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And we said also that do not be fooled by the majority. The majority are not always right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَسْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Even if you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so keen and eager that he wants everyone to become a believer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, you are only responsible for balagh. You are not responsible for hidayah. You are only mubashiran wa nadhira. You are only there to give glad tidings about Jannah and warn people about hell. This is your mission, ya Muhammad. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing that, still he was so, he wants the khair for everybody. He wants the khair for everyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, this is the ayah we're going to start with today. He said, ما تسألهم عليه من أجر إن هو إلا ذكر للعالمين. And this is despite the fact that you are not asking for any reward from them. This is only dhikr. This is only a reminder for all, for alameen, for all humanity. What does that mean? It means that, ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even though you are conveying this message and not asking for anything in return, ما تسألهم عليه من أجر, you're not asking for anything. You're not going to tell them, listen, Give me money, I will give you an ayah. You're not telling them, make me, as a matter of fact, like we said last week, they offered, we can make you our leader, we'll give you the best of women, we give you, name the money that you want. He refused all that. Why would somebody come up with something? Huh? This is, by the way, even though, because maybe we are born Muslims, we take this for granted. But anyone who debate with you about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just ask him a very simple question. Why would someone bring this to himself for nothing? Because usually, whatever you do, you are doing, you have a motive. Whatever we do, you have a motive. Why do you go to your, why do you work? Why do you have a job? So you can get money. Why are you getting money? So you can provide for your family. Why you provide for your family? Because you're responsible. So there's always a motive. Why are you doing this? What is the motive of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The people are asking you, oh, he's fake, he came up. Tayyib, if I come up now with something, that means I have a motive. I want to become rich, I want to become famous, I want to become something. So that's why I came up with this. No, the mission or the message he came with is only bringing him prosecution and humiliation. And he's not asking for anything in return. Right? He's not asking for anything in return. So just ask yourself the simple question when you speak to a non-Muslim or a person who is debating about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ask him, if you know the history, if you are really well educated about the history of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell me, why did he do this for? Why? If constantly he kept on repeating, we don't want nothing from you. If we know for a fact in the seerah that he was offered every dunya dream, right? He was offered all the things that everybody wished for, and he refused it all. So what is his motive? To be insulted? Somebody loves to be insulted? Somebody love for his close friends to be prosecuted and beaten? Someone loves to be kicked out of his country, of his state, of his city? No one. No one. No one would risk himself to get all this stuff. No one. That's why they kept on calling him Majnoon. Subhanallah, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why they called him crazy, because what you're doing, you know, like imagine I come up to tomorrow and I say, brothers, I have a Jibreel came to me and gave me a message to you. You would say, this guy is going crazy. Now imagine, now you're talking to people at least that believe in God. Now imagine you go to someone who worship a stone or an idol, and you tell him someone, an angel came to me. So you could imagine the whole point I'm trying to achieve, yarhamukallah, is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through to get us this message. What did he go through to give us this message? And in return, when we say follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do we say? It's just a sunnah. And look what he went through. Subhanallah, he went through so much, even for non-Muslims to become Muslims. And when we say, ya akhi, this is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's just a sunnah. It's just a sunnah. Subhanallah. So, Allah is telling him, ما تسألهم عليه من أجر. Even though you're not asking for any ajr, ya Muhammad, in huwa illa dhikrun lil alameen. This is a reminder for alameen. What does alameen? Remember when we explained Surah Al-Fatiha in details, we explained what does the word alameen mean. What does alameen mean? Huh? Alameen is plural of alam. And alam is? Excellent, mashallah. Muhammad, remember the definition. We gave a beautiful definition, very simple definition. Anything other than Allah is alameen. And Allah is Rabbil Alameen. The word of insects, the word of jinn, the word of mankind, mountains, oceans, all creations is under the alam alameen. And Allah is Rabbil Alameen. Allah is Rabbil Alameen. So Allah is saying here, this is dhikr. What does dhikr mean? What does dhikr mean? Reminder, right? Okay, let me ask you a question. When I remind you of something, What does that mean? What does that mean? You know it already before. I'm just reminding you, right? Right? By the way, the most common name of this book in the Quran is Quran, right? What's the second common name of Quran? Kitab. Because it is Quran, it's being read, and it's written, Kitab. And the third is Dhikr. The third is Dhikr, the most popular, third is Dhikr. What's the fourth? Anybody knows? Huh? Who? Excellent. Al-Furqan. Al-Furqan. It separates between, تفرق بين الحق والباطل, between falsehood and truth. So, طيب. This is a reminder. What does that mean? If this book is a reminder, that means you know about it. What do we conclude from that? That naturally, everyone is born knowing that there is Allah. Right? I'm just reminding you. By the way, ya akhwan, I don't know if you're aware of this. I'm sure our young brothers are not aware of this. This atheism, this atheist thing, is 100 and something years old only. This was not there. No one ever said there's no God, ever. This is only 100 something years old, only. Nobody ever said that there's no God. Even Quraysh, when they was asked, who do you worship? He said, we have many gods, and we have one in the heavens. They said, what do you want to ask? Who do you ask? He said, we ask the one in the heavens. So why are you asking these? Why are you asking these statues around the Kaaba? What did they say? Surah Az-Zumar. لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَ. We are only asking them to bring us closer to Allah. But all of them, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ Allah. This is Quraysh, ya akhwan, Quraysh. يعني, you see, if you study what did the Arab of Quraysh mean to the rest of the world, you will be shocked. They had no value whatsoever. They were the worst of the worst. Nobody respect, no nothing. Nothing. People who are hamaj. شو يعني hamaj بالإنجليزي يا شباب? Barbaric. Huh? No, nothing. This is where Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came from. Can you imagine? That's why when he was Amin and Sadiq, everybody like noticed. He was so pure and so loved by everybody. But in general, the Romans, the Persians, they did not care about the Arab, they did not worry about the Arab at all. So even them, with that kind of mentality, they knew that there was an Ilah. But they wanted a middleman. They wanted something tangible, something that they could feel and they could ask. And that's why they worship these statues. And like I mentioned before, unfortunately, we still have some people like that, right? When the people go to the grave and they ask Mawlana and Wali, and they tell them, yeah, what was the famous one? There's one in Egypt for Badawi. And right? That's Badawi. And there's another one. You know, they go and they ask them, you know, to bless them with this and that. Biakhi, why? Why the middleman? Go straight. Straight to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah does not like. As a matter of fact, Allah hates to ask anyone else other than Him. Subhanallah. So this is the mentality that Quraysh had. And Allah is telling them, this is dhikr not only for you, ya Quraysh. Subhanallah, ya akhwan. That's why when you speak to a non-Muslim, when you are talking and trying to convince someone about your deen, or just to explain, you don't have to convince, explaining about Islam, just ask them a very simple question. Very simple question. What are you going to tell your Lord when you stand in front of Him? What are you going to tell Him? You know, when you are Because they believe that there's, most of them believe that there is a day of judgment. Huh? So what are you going to tell your Lord? Tell them your Lord. You tell them God. There's nothing wrong with using the word God. Huh? Tell them, what are you going to tell God when you stand in front of him? What did you do in all this? Are you going to tell him your son forgive all my sins and died for my sins? Subhanallah. So, the question is, what did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gain from all this? Nothing. You have to present that question. What did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gain from all that? Nothing. He was not looking for fame or looking for money or looking for anything in return for that message. This is only a dhikr for the alameen. We're just here, you are here, Ya Muhammad, to remind them. Just like every prophet who came as a reminder. Naturally, anytime. That's why I mentioned this phrase before, and I'll remind you of it. There's no atheist in the battlefield. There's no atheist in the battlefield. What does that mean? When there's a battle and the things are getting hot, everybody's going to scream, "Oh God, help me. Ya Habibi, I thought you were atheist." I remember that clip they sent on WhatsApp. Someone was sitting next to a guy in the plane, and then all of a sudden the guy was arguing with this little girl that, you know, there's no God. He kept on arguing, there's no God, no God, and he was trying to convince her science and this and that, and all of a sudden the pilot said, one engine broke. That guy said, "Oh God, help us." He said, "Ya Habibi, sallak sa'a. You've been saying for 1 hour there's no God. And what happened?" You know, naturally, subhanAllah, there's no God, there's no atheist in the battlefield. And when it really gets hot, you know, everybody's going to say, "Oh God, subhanAllah." Natural, because this is our nature. How? How could this, all this, if I cannot, Ya Akhwan, if I cannot convince you that this phone was created by itself, would anyone with his complete brain would say that this phone came up by itself from nothing? Impossible. So how this whole world with the sun and the moon and the ocean, and how did that function by itself? How did this all come together and still being operated on the best fashion every single day, same time? The sun, if it goes up 1 inch, everything will freeze. Down 1 inch, everything will burn. Subhanallah, and it's running. If all mankind and all jinkind, they all gathered from Adam till the day of judgment to run this dunya for 1 second, they can't. Feed the fish in the sea, feed the ant, everything is taken care of. No one can except Allah Azza wa Jal. So Ya Muhammad, even though we gave you this message and you're not asking for anything in return, they're still not going to believe. And like I said before, last week, that this is a message for me and a message for you, that that brother in your family that does not pray, that sister in your family that does not wear the hijab, that friend of yours who's not a Muslim and you're trying to convince all the time, that's not your job. Your job is to keep reminding them, constantly remind them. And a very important point, we always say, you know what, don't mention hell, just mention Jannah only. Just mention Jannah. It's young kids, you tell them about hell. As a matter of fact, brother, he's not here now. When I, the other day, I was leading the Salat, he said, "Ya Akhi, you always," I mentioned if you have someone in your family who does not pray, and you know. "Ya Akhi, you always talk about hell and hell." "When did I talk about hell, Ya Akhi?" "The first time I talk about hell." "Tayyib, let me ask you a question. Did Allah ever mention Jannah in the Quran without mentioning hell?" "Always. What's the ayah before it? Inna al-muttaqina. Inna al-abrara lafi na'im. Wa inna al-fujjara lafi jahim." Always. Abrar and fujjar. Kuffar and mu'mineen. Always in the Quran. We always have to mention both. Mentioning hell by itself is not good only, to mention that only. And mentioning Jannah constantly, no. Allah mentioned both all the time. All the time. Look in the Quran. He mentioned first the people with Jannah, then he mentioned the people of hell. Always. If you do this, you go here. You do this, you go there. طيب. You mentioned the people of Jannah. So when you start talking to your brother, to your sister, first one day, 2 days, three days, 2 weeks, you are always making targhib. Targhib with a ghain. You are talking about Jannah, thank Allah Azza wa Jal. But when it becomes, no one is listening, you have to throw some tarheeb. You have to mention the hell, ya akhi. Everybody gets, you know, sometimes scared, you know, and they, sometimes hope drives you, and sometimes fear drives you. So you never know. You have to mention both. Just like Allah, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلَ. Who's better than Allah Azza wa Jal? Who's better than Allah? Allah told us in the speech, this is the way you're supposed to. So you don't go strictly talking about إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ, don't worry, this and that. And at the same time, you don't say إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ وَإِنَّهُ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Right in the same ayah. He's very forgiving and he's very severe when it comes to punishment. So this is dhikr lil-alameen. And I'll take one more ayah, inshallah. And كَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. And how numerous are the signs in the heavens and in the earth that they pass by and they are oblivious to these signs and don't think about these signs. Yani, ya Muhammad, don't think that you are the only one they are refusing. There are so many other signs around them. Look at the rain, look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the ocean. Look at this, all these things. And they are passed by, they pass. Look at yourself. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. Look at yourself. How is everything operating? If you look inside your body of what's happening right now, the lungs are, the kidneys are being washed and the white blood cells are fighting the red whites. Everything is happening. Well, you did not do anything. This is all blessings from Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know that there are people who go to ICU and go to the hospital for weeks to get what we are getting for free. For free. All these are signs that Allah is in control. So Allah is telling Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you're not the only one they're refusing. There are so many other ayat all over, all around them. And they are also yamurruna. You know what yamurruna? Yamurruna, yani, they just pass by. They pass by them and they do not even pay any attention to them. Yamurruna alayhim wa hum anha mu'ridun. And they are neglecting them. They are do not even think about them. So you're not the only one. Because they kept on asking, you know, Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say? When he told him, even if you come, if you bring them, if you build them castles, even if you bring them jannat, even if you come down with a book, they're not going to believe. They're not going to believe. Some people, subhanAllah, you talk to them once and immediately they open up and they accept the truth. And some people you keep bringing left, they come right, you go now north, they come south. So, subhanAllah, جَعَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّا. The hearts are blocked, are closed. So somebody might say, that why Allah closed their hearts? Why Allah could not guide them? Right? Somebody might say, Allah could have guided everybody, right? What do we say to these people? They don't want to be guided. You, to me and you, they look like they want to be guided, but who knows them better than Allah? Allah, remember what I said, Wallahi ya Akhwan, listen to this carefully. I said this before a long time ago, but this is, no matter how many times I said it, it's extremely important. Anyone, listen carefully, anyone who goes to hell deserves to go to hell. Why? Remember what I said before? Why? Because Allah is Arham al-Rahimeen. Allah is the most merciful. Don't ever, because some people sometimes they say, Allah, it's not fair, ya akhi, for this person to go to hell. This is kufr. This statement is kufr. You know why? Because you are accusing Allah that He is not fair. And you are accusing Allah, and you think that you are more merciful than Allah? You think you're more merciful than Allah? How? That's why if someone goes to hell, know for a fact that he deserves to go to hell. He deserves to go to hell. Because Allah is so merciful, number one, and Allah is all just. Both of them together. If someone is here in dunya matters, if you know that this judge is so merciful, you would be so excited that he's turned out to be your judge, right? If you found out he's so merciful. And you heard that he's so just, no matter, he does not fear no one. You would be very happy. How about the just himself? How about the source of mercy himself? Allah himself, Azza wa Jal, all this that we have, the love and the care, the mothers to their kids, the animals between each other, is one mercy from 100, and he left 99 for the day of judgment. And you tell me, this person doesn't deserve to go to hell? If it was your sister he raped, your father he killed, your home he burned, you would want to put him in hell. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep in your mind always that Allah is arham ar-rahimeen. No way that you are more merciful. Remember what we said, one of the salaf was asked, if you were given the choice on the day of judgment for Allah or your mother to judge you, who would you choose? He says, I choose Allah. I choose Allah. Because naturally, your mother will never put you in hell. Your mother get worried about fever. And he said, I choose Allah. Because that rahmah in my mother is 0.00000 to the infinity one of the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? So how could I choose my mother? Allahu Akbar. This is the mentality we're supposed to have. This is the mentality. This is the understanding of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, Ya Muhammad, these ayat, I will finish. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Even though they are saying, we believe in Allah, we believe in Allah, who created this? Allah. Who did this? Allah. But in fact, they are still going to the idols, to the awthan, to ask them for things. Allah, look at this ayah, how clear. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Even though they say we believe in Allah, there is Allah. They're not denying that there is God. They believe that there is Allah. But at the same time, you know, we want someone, you know, just a mediator. SubhanAllah. So, ya akhwan, inshallah ta'ala, we will continue bi'idhnillah ta'ala next week. You notice that I don't want to finish the surah, even though there's only 3 ayah left or 4 ayah. We can redo it again. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always unite our hearts. I love you all for the sake of Allah, and Allah knows how much I love you, wallahi. I come here with not doing this just as a job or something. I come here because I really want to share this. And as much as I can before Allah take my soul and increase our love to one another, increase our ilm and increase our application, inshallah, of what we learn, inshallah. Again, as usual, every Thursday night, I remind you to make a lot of salat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he himself said, akthiru, abundantly, say a lot of salat on me Thursday night and all Friday. And tomorrow Fajr is at 6:30, inshallah. Please come and pray Fajr in Jama'ah. Barakallah feekum. Jazakumullah khair. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك